I have a tall order today. The leaders of the church about a month ago designated this day as a quarterly meeting today. We were going to have one of those quarterly meetings where after worship service, we had a potluck dinner and the leaders of the church would share something about the state of the church. So this was going to be a quarterly meeting, state of the church day, and we decided that because so many people are not able to stay after worship for those potluck dinners and then miss out on the meeting, that we would make the meeting about the state of the church part of the worship service. And so part of this message today, it has to do with the state of the church. But as I thought about the timing of it, I wanted to couch it in terms of giving thanks to God. So the title today is, I'm giving thanks to God for you today. And I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and then I'm also going to pick from the Ephesians a little bit. Paul wrote 13 letters to the church. 13 of those letters. Four of them were of a personal nature to people with names like Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Nine of the letters were written to churches. And in seven of those nine letters, Paul includes what has come to be known as a thanksgiving section of his letter, where immediately following the initial greeting from Paul to the church at Ephesus, for example, he turns right into a section of thanksgiving, as he does here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 4 after his introduction. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. He's talking about the spiritual gifts that they've been given by God. This confirms what I told you about Christ is true. Apparently, Paul had told them when he was with them before he left Corinth and wrote this letter back to them. He had told them about how God, through the Spirit, was going to give them gifts, various and different sundry kind of gifts that would enable them to put all their gifts together on behalf of the church of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about in this section. He's thanking God for the gifts that they have been given. And he says in verse 7, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus. He will keep you strong until the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus returns. So he's mixing in a little thought about the second coming of Christ. He's giving them some hope there to look forward to, as we have already spoken about in this service, that someday Christ will be with us again and we will be with him. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he is the one who has invited you into this partnership with his son, Jesus, our Lord. I love that last phrase there. Just be reminded that God is the one who has invited us into this relationship, into this friendship, Paul says, with his son, Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He's invited all of us, and you've all responded to that invitation, and here we are together to worship the Lord. So that's 1 Corinthians. Now, in some of these thanksgiving sections, Paul also prays for the churches that he's writing to. That's why I chose Corinthians as the other example. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, he tells the Ephesians, and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. There's his thanksgiving section. But then he goes into prayer for them. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly places. And now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Jesus and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Can I just take a 45-second time out and tell you, as I was reading that again, this passage where Paul's praying for their spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow and that their hearts might be flooded with light and understanding about the hope that he gives us and that they will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. I was reading that this last week in preparation as I was putting together this service. And I just thought about those words for a while and how they apply to my preaching to you in general. And it came to me, I don't know, I'm never one to say that God spoke to me unless I'm reading it right from here, but it kind of came to me that perhaps this past year I've been preaching church light stuff, if I might grab that phrase, church light. Feel like I've been going kind of easy on you. Maybe that's not the right term. What I felt like is I need to dive deeper. And in this coming year, I intend to do that, to dive deeper into the Scriptures so that all of us together can grow more strongly in the Lord. And a series of messages came to my mind that I want to start working on and I hope to preach in January. And that is, I don't think I've ever preached a series of messages about temptation. And I want to talk about temptation and the way it rears its ugly head in our lives every day and how to overcome temptation and live our lives for Christ's sake and glory. So I'm going to dive a little deeper in 2019, okay? And that kind of came out of just prepping for this service this week as I read that paragraph. I'm going to go a little deeper. So be forewarned. No, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Is that all the scripture I have to read today? I guess it is. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation of people and ask your blessing upon all of us today that our ears might be open to what you would say to us today so that we might be better people for having come to this place. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It is Thanksgiving. I have a couple cartoons I want to show you just to get you laughing a little bit. Gail, would you put the first one up, please? What happened to it? Well, how are you getting that to fade out like that? I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for family. Oh, you got to see who it is that's saying this. I like the last one. I'm thankful for the sunsets. And who is it? Dracula. Okay, next. Do we have another one? And the last one? Thanksgiving. If you don't already know this, and you probably do, but if you don't know this, do you know that the act of thanksgiving is very, very, very beneficial for us in physical ways, emotional ways, all kinds of ways? There was a study done where people were encouraged in this study to take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day and write down three things they were thankful for. Didn't have to be grandiose things. It was just things like, I enjoyed the Romeo's Dante's Peak pizza I had last night. I'm thankful for that. Stuff like that. I'm thankful for the hug that I got from my granddaughter this morning. Just little things, just so you're grateful. They have to be specific, though, and concrete, so you can write them down. And they say, take 5 minutes a day, write down three things. And they checked back a month later with these people and found that they were more happy and less depressed. And 6 months later, they were not only more happy, they said now, 6 months later, that they had learned to be joyful about life, and less depressed, less anxious, just all kinds of good stuff happened, even after 6 months And they concluded from this study that what they were doing was you were training your brain to look for good things to happen in your life. Training the brain to look for good things to happen in your life. And when you do that, emotionally, you're going to be better off. And physically, there's other studies I read this week that people who learn to be grateful and express it on a daily basis have less heart problems. Specifically, their heart rhythms are better. And what's the other one? Something else heart related. I can't remember exactly what it was. Doesn't matter. You're getting the idea. People who are grateful have lowered their blood pressure. They have measured this out. They have taught people to be grateful. And after they started being grateful and expressing it, their blood pressure went down. You can lower your blood pressure. Your immune system copes better when you're grateful. You sleep better when you're grateful. Your levels of cortisol, the stress hormone in your body, are reduced 25% when you express thanksgiving. So you can't go wrong with Thanksgiving, can you? Just can't go wrong with it. Next Sunday, I want to give you a chance to express your thanksgiving. Okay? Next Sunday, I want to give you a chance to express your thanksgiving. Next Sunday, I'm not going to preach. Next Sunday, I'm going to just say what I'm thankful for. And we're going to have a service of a lot of music and praise and thanksgiving. And I want to give you an opportunity to express what you are thankful for next Sunday morning. And if some of you want to express, it would be appropriate if you want to express how you're thankful for some aspect of your church life or your brothers and sisters of Christ, that would be most appropriate for next Sunday. Today, though, today I want to express my thanksgiving. Okay? I want to take these moments in this service to express my thanks to God and to you for you. And for who you are and for what you've done. I want to thank God for the good people of Cross Point Community Church. No, I want to thank God for the great people of Cross Point Community Church for making this the kind and the loving and the generous congregation that you have made it to be. I want to thank you for the decisions that you have made to make this your church home, to worship here, the fellowship here, to grow spiritually here. And to practice your faith by offering your gifts to God the Father through Jesus the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to spend some time giving thanks to specific people in this congregation today. And the first people I have in mind are the leaders of the church. I want to thank God for the staff of the church. I want to thank God for my wife Gail, and for Annie Dean, and for Chuck Lemon, and for serving as our staff in our church, who meet together every Thursday morning. And sure, we have a good time over breakfast, but we also hash out all kinds of things that are going on in all of our lives together in this ministry. And I thank God for you, Gail, and Chuck, and Ann, and for all the time and all the prayers that you give towards this ministry to help it make it exactly what it is. In the same vein, I want to thank the leaders of the church who serve on what is officially known as the leadership team. And that would be people like Robin Tresh right there, who led us in prayer a while ago. And Amy back there, Topola. And Jim and Gail Arthur over here. And Heidi Cantlin sitting over there. And Gail and Chuck and Annie, they're part of the leadership team also. And did I leave anyone out? I just better not go on my memory and all this. I better check so I don't leave anybody out. I think I got everybody covered there. But I'm grateful for the time that you guys put in at the leadership meetings that we have once or twice a month sometimes. And all the thought and the wisdom that you share and you bring to the table on behalf of all of us together at Cross Point, I want to thank you who serve on the leadership team. I thank those of you who serve as trustees of the church. I'm thinking of Bill Richardson. And will you tell Bill that we thought of him today, Dora and Jen? I'm thinking of Stephanie Kinney, who's been on the trustees now for several years. I'm thinking about Lee Kehoe. I'm thinking about Rhonda, who recently moved to Florida, but we dare not forget Rhonda and give God thanks for Rhonda's service on the trustees. And of course, those other three trustees who are on there because they're part of the staff, and that would be Annie, Chuck, and Gail. I want to thank you, trustees, for taking care of this building the best you can and thinking about ways that we can better use the building to serve the Lord. I want to thank the financial secretaries of our church, or the people who take care of our offering and keep tabs of how much money is collected and deposited. Those people are Annie Dean and Gail and Gail. Two Gails do that. G-A-L-E and G-A-I-L. Two Gails and Annie Dean. I want to thank the financial secretaries, as I also want to thank our treasurers, Chuck Lemon and Jim Arthur. And while I'm there, I just hope you take note that we have divided out the financial responsibilities for everyone's safety. In other words, the people that take in the money and deposit it are not the same people who write checks. Just to avoid any temptation there, we keep those two functions separate. And I think that's very wise that we do so. And I want to thank all those who are responsible for each side of the finances in our church. I want to thank those who are involved in worship in many different ways. I want to thank the musicians who offer their gifts. I want to thank Barb Schuster. And I want to thank Johnny Topola on the drums. And I thank you, Jim Brandenburg, who plays the guitar for us. And I thank you, John Dean, who's going to be up there next Sunday morning plucking the bass strings again. And I want to thank each and every one of you for the gifts that you offer to the Lord and all the time you put in to make our music ministry what it is. I want to thank the singers. I want to thank Robin and her mom, Dawn. I thank you for your service in singing. I want to thank Cheryl and the ones that were up there today, Cheryl Noble and Heidi Cantlin and Kathy Shepherd and Patty Nelson. And who am I leaving out? Lindsay Brandenburg. We don't want to forget Lindsay. We thank all of you singers who practice and share your gifts and help to make our worship what it is every Sunday morning. I want to thank the choir who are going to be starting up again soon. In fact, I forgot to announce, I think there's a choir practice after church today. And in addition to those I just named who sing on the worship team but are also in the choir, I want to mention Frank Noble and Judy Hankins and Lexi Rentschler and Lyle Morse, who just went to Florida this week, by the way. Rhonda Lloyd, who's already in Florida. I want to thank Alan and Vanna Robbins and Erica Gray, and I hope I didn't leave anybody out if I did raise your hand of the choir. I want to thank and recognize you for your service and what you do to make this worship service like it is. I want to thank those who have led us in prayer during worship, as did Robin Tresh today, and those would be Alan Robbins and Annie Dean. Brad Winter, thank you, Brad. For Chuck Lemon, and Karen Snyder has led us in prayer, and Karen Tate, Kathy Shepherd, Nancy Carr. I want to thank you guys. You use your gifts of faith and prayer, and you bless us, as did Robin this morning. Thank you so much for your prayers. I want to thank those who serve in the nursery. It's a very, very important ministry. Amy and Sherry Eckert, thank you, Sherry, and Suze Lemon and Vanna Robbins serving in the nursery. I want to thank those who do the kids' worship. Karen Tate's back there now, but Kathy Shepherd and Lyle Morse. Just lost Lyle for the winter, though. He went to Florida, so we need somebody to step up to the plate and fill in Lyle's shoes here on these Sunday mornings. And Robin Tresh, thank you again for what you do in the kids' worship. What's going on back there right now with all those young people that were up here a while ago is just as important, if not more so, than what's going on right out here now. That's a very important ministry back there. Those kids are learning about Christ, and they're learning to be Christians, and they're learning Christian concepts. And I thank those of you who spend time with them. I thank Jim Arthur and Karen Tate for meeting with the youth of our church. I thank those who helped out with the Vacation Bible School this last year. I don't have their names listed because that just now popped into my mind, the Vacation Bible School that we have. But I know that there's many of you who filled in there. I thank God for the greeters that greet people with smiles on Sunday morning. I'm thinking of people like Jenny Richardson. She's got the greatest smile. I'm thinking of Jim and Gail Arthur, who were back there today, and Lee Kehoe, and Liz Palillo has done that for us, and Ron and Rena, thank you for over the years being a greeter for us, and thank you for our newest greeters right over here in front. Flo and Deidre, thank you so much, Flo, for being a greeter here on Sunday morning. I thank the good Lord for those who serve as ushers. It might seem like a simple thing, but it's really an important thing. Larry and Kathy Warner aren't with us this morning, but they serve as ushers. Chuck and Suze, Denny Huff, Jerry and Sandy Barnes, the Arthurs, Jim and Gail Arthur, Lee Kehoe, Ron and Rena. And in addition, I think we had new ones today. Bob Petruna, a new usher, joined us today. And Tom and Sarah Copley, thank you very much for volunteering to be ushers. Communion stewards, we don't want to forget the communion stewards. Alan and Vanna come in now on Sunday mornings. Ron and Rena used to do this. But Alan and Vanna Robbins now come in on Sunday mornings. We have communion, and they prep the communion for us. And they help to serve it along with Chuck and Suze and Jim and Gail, and Karen Snyder has helped out in that role, and Lee and Ron and Rena. Thank you all. Thank all of you for using your gifts to make this worship service what it is. Sometimes we're not aware of all these things that go on in the background that go towards helping us worship the Lord, but all these are very needed functions, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your participation. I want to thank those who are involved in some of our programs. I'm thinking of Annie Dean and taking the bull by the horns, the leadership with that grief ministry. And Annie, you're full of compassion and love for these people and your gift of teaching. And we want to recognize you and Anne and thank you for what you do in that grief ministry. It's very, very helpful to people. I thank you, Chuck Lemon, who've been coming here on every Friday night for over a year now. How long has it been? 2 years and a half? You know that we've started a recovery ministry using Christian principles combined with the 12 steps. And Chuck has been leading that ministry, and he's been coming here a year and a half. And to be frank and to be honest, it hasn't taken off in numbers of people yet. Sometimes Chuck comes down here and he'll sit here for a while and no one comes. Most of the time, I understand he's got one person coming, but I know that you're helping that one person. And I thank God for your steadfastness and your commitment to this ministry. Where other people like me might get discouraged by numbers, Chuck doesn't let that bother him. And I want to thank you, Chuck, for being faithful to your ministry of helping people recover in various ways. I want to thank Jim Arthur and Liz Wilson, who do our mercy ministry. When I get a telephone call from somebody in Chippewa Lake, can you help me with a utility bill? Can you help me pay my rent? I say, I'm not in charge of giving out those monies. I don't have access to those monies. We have two people in our church who train, and then those folks come down and they meet with Jim and Liz Wilson, and that's how that's taken care of, and I wanted to recognize and thank you guys for that, Jim. I want to thank my wife, Gail, who is currently leading the Really Bad Girls of the Bible. How many bad girls are with us today? Raise your hand. Look at all these bad girls of the Bible. Gee, looking around, I can see you really are bad girls. You're in the right class. That is, if it's there to straighten you out. Because some of you need straightened out. No, I'm just kidding. I want to thank the so-called handy men of the church. Jim Brandenburg and Bill Richardson and Denny Huff helps out in this way. Lee Kehoe and Tom Keyes has helped in this way before. Jerry Barnes and Jim Shepherd and Lee Cortan. I'm so blessed by Lee. I was down at the Village Inn the other day, and Lee and I were sitting together, and he asked me what I'd been doing. I said, I was up at the church. I've been doing some, filling some holes and sanding and painting some spots in the drywall. And Lee says, well, why didn't you call me to do that? That's what I did for a living. And I said, you want to be the wall man from now on? And Lee said, yeah, I'll be your wall man. And guess where he was 2 days this last week, repairing a crack in the wall back there. And Lee says he's going to take on the job of being the wall man. And I can't tell you, Lee, that might seem very simple, but that's a very great blessing for me, for you to do that. And I want to thank you very much for taking that on.
My pleasure to do it, man.
Yep. These walls are yours. Have at them. I want to especially thank Jerry Barnes and Lee Kehoe, who spent so many hours down here the last month, I suppose, as they stained and applied all the wood baseboard trim around this sanctuary and in the bathrooms, and then after that was over, took time to put down the quarter round all around the room. And those guys worked pretty good together as a team, right? Lenny and Squiggy, I call them. Lenny and Squiggy team. You guys did a lot. I kind of forgot this later, but it fits right now. There's been a lot of projects that have been completed this year in the church, and when you take a look at them all, it's kind of amazing, really. Thanks to Lee, we got a new hot water tank in the kitchen. The roof leak over the kitchen was repaired this week. We had a leak out there in the roof. The kitchen ceiling and the light was repaired and repainted. We had a new television installed back there in the alcove for the studies that we have going on. An old cabinet was removed. We had the shed cleaned out. Old radiators removed. Wall repair and fresh paint. Kitchen shutters removed. Defibrillator, EAD installed. A new office door has been installed. New quarter round, new baseboard. New windows, new siding, new flooring. All that was done this year. Really didn't have much of a plan to do that the previous year. It just all came together, and I thank you, and most of all, I thank God for enabling all that to happen. Made quite a few improvements to the church this year. We're very blessed in that way. Beyond all the things and all the gifts that you folks do to make this church what it is inside these four walls, I want to go beyond the four walls and thank God that we have a purpose statement that's right back there, sharing God's grace with our community. And I thank you so much that we have embraced that mission, that purpose, that you and I have realized together that any church worth its salt will go beyond its four walls and invade, if I can use that word, the community that surrounds us to minister the love and the grace of Christ to the people who live in this community. And therefore, I want to thank those of you who participate in our community meal with John and Amy providing the food at that. And those of you who come and serve at Lee and Ilo and John and Sue and other people, I want to thank those. I'm not going to be able to count names here now because I'd probably forget some, but maybe we should ask those people to stand. If you've ever helped out with the community meal, would you please stand? Go ahead, don't be shy. I want to thank God for all of you folks who help out serving our community meal on the last Friday of every month. Thank you very much. I want to thank those in a similar way, and I would ask you to stand too. Maybe some of you will continue to stand then. Maybe this is a good day for you to get your exercise. I want to thank those who have ever participated in any of our Gather to Scatter projects. Stand up, please. This is wherever there's a fifth Sunday of the month, we come together for a short worship, and we get out there into Chippewa Lake, and we're doing something on someone's behalf. And look at all the people who are standing who participated in these Gather to Scatter moments. I want to thank you very, very much for the skills that you're offering, the service you're offering. The Bible calls it the gift of helps. It's the gift of helps, if we want to be technical. And thank you for using your gifts of helps very much. Please be seated. we do an Easter egg hunt for the community. Let's have those people who participate in the Easter egg hunt. Stand up, please, if you're in the Easter egg hunt. It's a great event. We have usually around 75, 80 kids in this place. And I want to thank you and recognize you for putting together that event and helping it all that it is be. Some of you may want to stand because I'm talking about the polar bear event now. How many people have participated in the polar bear event? If you've ever participated in the polar bear event in any way, please stand. Look at all the people. It's coming up January 26th. Yeah, polar bear, keep standing. Yes, it's coming soon. There's a poster back there for it now. And I want to tell you on behalf of the Lions Club, to which Suzanne and I are both privileged to be a part of, the Lions Club thanks all of you for your participation in this event and making it everything that it is. Thank you very much. And last but not least, I would have those who stand who work at this summer's end Labor Day party that Mayor Joanne asked us to take charge of, if you've participated in that. Got a different group of people now, and this is awesome. Thank you, Gene and Wayne. Thank you all for your efforts in that. That's a big event, and I thank you very much for it. Last but not least, I would want to thank you again for your generosity as it concerns those Thanksgiving boxes back there. It only takes one announcement on a Sunday morning that, folks, we're going to fill some Thanksgiving boxes. And even before that week gets over, people who hear that announcement on a Sunday are bringing stuff up during the week and the following Sunday. It's covered. It's taken care of. My, my. What generous hearts you have for the Thanksgiving boxes. And we're going to be working on Christmas Adopt a Family here soon. And I know that when the announcement is made that we've got a few families that we want to help at Christmas, I have complete confidence that all those requests would be filled because of your generous hearts. I thank God for you people today. It's my privilege to stand here as your pastor and thank God for you, for the great people of Cross Point Community Church who helped make this place what it is today in many and different ways. I want to thank you, those of you who have committed yourselves to the biblical principles of Christian stewardship. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't even be here today. We wouldn't have the blessing of this building if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't have the blessing of this ministry in this place if it wasn't for you. And I wonder if you've ever thought, like I have, about what a blessing this congregation has been since we have moved to Chippewa Lake in the year 2010. I mean, I don't think I'm stretching it a bit to say that almost everyone in Chippewa Lake has heard of Cross Point Community Church. And whether they come here on a Sunday morning, I mean, that's fine when someone might, but whether they do or they don't, they know that there's a group of people down there in that building who are concerned and care about the community at large and are doing their very best to do things to make this community a better place on behalf of the Lord. They know that there are Christian people down here, Christian people, believers in Jesus Christ down there at that place, Cross Point Community Church. People know about it. If we suddenly packed up and moved out of this town, well, I don't know what would happen, but I have a feeling like it would be a great loss for this community. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have a valuable ministry on behalf of the Lord. And because of all your efforts, and especially now I'm thanking those who support the church financially the way you do, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't even be here in this place today. We wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. And so I thank you for the gifts that you give. I thank you for being committed to the biblical principles of Christian financial stewardship. What are those principles? Someone just asked me. Who asked me that just now? Someone asked me that, right? I'm here to tell you what those principles are. Number one, God owns the whole ball of wax. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Number two, therefore, everything that you and I have is a gift of God. Everything. Paul to Timothy, "Teach those who are rich in the world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we have and need for our enjoyment." Everything is a gift. Therefore, number three, we are stewards or managers of what God in His grace has given. Everything that we have, everything that we are stewards, the Bible says, managers of what God has blessed us with. Faithful stewards give a portion of their income to the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required of stewards, that's anybody who's a Christian, that they be found faithful. And faithful stewards give a portion. 2 Corinthians 8:11, give in proportion to what you have. And lastly, the biblical guideline for the portion is the tithe, 10%. That's the biblical standard, 10%. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe into my storehouse, God says. So there's the biblical principles. And there's many, I don't know, because I'm not privy to this information, nor should I be. But I know that there are some who take very, very seriously the call to put their life in line with what God would have it to be so in this regard. And because you have, this place survives. We're enabled to have this ministry here. I would want to say this. If everyone in this congregation tithed, there would be no telling what we could do if everybody tithed. You know, there would be no telling. We would be able to pay off our mortgage rather quickly if everybody tithed. I think we owe $84,000, $85,000 or something like that on our church mortgage. And if everybody tithed, baby, that would be whittled down in a year. Actually, yeah, we'd take care of that in a year if everybody tithed. If everybody tithed, perhaps we could buy that property that's out front of the church here that's likely to go up for auction this year. That property in that old house there. I'm not saying that we necessarily want it or need it, but if we all tithe and it came up and we saw a need, boy, we could just jump on that. If we all tithe, maybe we could beautify the rest of our 7-acre property as beautiful as the building looks right now. Make it look like a park all around here. Wouldn't that be awesome? If we all tithe, we could go out and hire a youth pastor. Or a children's minister. I'm being serious. That wouldn't be awesome. If we all tithe, we could hire another pastor, some kind of an associate to work with kids or youth or something like that. If we all tithe, you wouldn't see a weekly deficit in your bulletin every Sunday. You see that deficit today? I think last week it says we took in as our income 2,000 and what was it? Who's looking at that? $2,023. Was given the figures of how much we received in income this year, and I averaged it out, and what we've averaged so far this year between January through the end of October is $2,248 a week, which is $265 a week short of our goal of supporting our spending plan of it's around $130,000 is our spending plan. So we need $2,513 a week on average, and we're about $265 a week short of that. And so that's raising the obvious question with some of you, how are we able to survive and pay our bills? And the answer is, you recall that last Easter, because we were running short, we took a special Easter offering. And in that special Easter offering, bless God, it was $10,075. And it's because of that special Easter offering that we're staying above water. But if we don't do something else in this regard, probably by about next Easter, we're going to have to be asking for another special offering. But as I've told our leaders before when we discuss this and pray about this, you can only go to the well so many times asking for special offerings. It'd be just nice if we could take care of this the way God planned and the way God intended. Because God has a plan for the way that His church is resourced. And you know the plan. I just gave it to you. And so we have an opportunity, all of us, to step up. Or some of you are already doing your share, but I'm just asking all of you basically to consider what it might take for you to give sacrificially and regularly. Very important word, regularly. Bible says every week. Now I know that some of you on Social Security and do that once a month, and I understand it. You're still regular. But regularly and joyfully is the last thing, joyfully. And that's the most important thing, joyfully. And some of you are thinking, well, what did he just say, joyfully? And I said, yes, joyfully. Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that those who give joyfully are those who very carefully weigh this out. And they look at what God says in His Word, and they look at their financial picture, and they make a decision, and they just do it. And those are the people who give joyfully. It's the people who think this through. And yeah, they might say to themselves right now, you might be thinking this too. Well, there's no way I could tithe even if I wanted to. Because if I start tithing, somebody's going to come knocking on my door saying, hey, I want part of that. And that's a position that some are in. But your heart tells you, I wish I could tithe, I want to tithe. And so you just need to look at your picture right now and just say, this is what I can do, this is what I will do, and I hope that in the future I can increase and slowly grow to the point where I'm tithing. But it's the people who make decisions in this regard and follow through on them week in, week out, month in, month out, who give joyfully. And when I call upon the ushers on Sunday morning, their hearts pick up a little bit. Oh boy. I'm going to give to the Lord's ministry right now. That's what this offering is all about. So, do I need to recap? I don't think so. I'm here to give God thanks for you for many different reasons. And we come to a turning point in this message, and I want to turn on it by saying this, that I am standing here right now delivering this message, and I'm talking about finances, and I can't help but do so without thinking about our departed friend and brother, Ken Jones. Ken Jones. Ken passed away a year ago, last July, and he's still with us today, and I want to tell you how. Ken often stood here and made the speech that I just gave you. And Ken, if you're looking down, I hope and I pray that I did a good job as you used to do with this very same thing. He was very, very committed to the principles of Christian stewardship. And because he was, before he left this earth, he made it possible for this church to receive $27,000 out of one of his 401ks. And some people have been asking, how did we do this floor this year? How did we put in new windows this year? How did we pay for siding this year when we're having a weekly deficit? It's because of the faithfulness and the generosity of our friend Ken Jones, who not only spoke words, but he put his money where his mouth was, as it were, if I can use that phrase. He stood up and said, this is what I want to do because I believe in the church and I believe in Crosspoint. And Ken Jones needs to be remembered for this. And I thought that it would only be appropriate for us to have a little dedication in his name today of these improvements that we've been able to make to this building because of Ken's faithfulness to all of us. So I'm going to ask Annie and Chuck if you would come down here and help me. And I believe you have an insert in your bulletin I'd have you turn to, if you don't mind. The part that you get to read is the part in bold, and I'll ask you to pray that prayer with me at the end. We thank you, O God, that through the faithfulness and generosity of our departed brother in Christ, Kenneth E. Jones, that we have been enabled to make improvements to this building.
We pray that people who walk or drive by this church building on any given day will see this church building as a place of beauty and a haven of blessing and peace.
We pray that the light of Christ will shine out through these windows and be a beacon of hope to all who live in this community.
We pray that all who walk the floors of this sanctuary will also walk in all your ways, devoting themselves to loving you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And would you all pray with me, Almighty God, we dedicate the recent improvements to this church building to your glory. Thank you for Ken's generosity that enables us to be more welcoming to all who come to Cross Point Community Church. And thank you, too, for all those others who have made these improvements possible, for their vision, their labors, their guidance, and their prayers, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate and sure foundation, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Karen, for being open to us, taking this time to remember your husband. I don't know about you, but Ken Jones will always remain to me an inspiration to give all that I can the way he gave all that he could to Cross Point Community Church. He believed in you. He believed in our church. First of all, he believed in Christ our Savior. Ken knew that it was all about God. It's all about Christ. He gave everything that he had to us. That is, I'm speaking of Jesus now, so that we could give everything that we could back to him. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, on this Sunday that precedes the great Thanksgiving feast that we observe in this country, we give you thanks for many things. We give you thanks, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave himself for us that we, through our faith in him, might have eternal hope of heaven and might live lives on this planet Earth as we remain here that would be pleasing unto him and good for us. We give you thanks for the gift of this congregation, this church, Cross Point. I give you thanks for each and every person who participates here and calls this their church home. I give you thanks for the saints, as we did a few weeks ago on All Saints Sunday, who've gone before us so faithfully, and the Lord, may their memories live on in our lives as an inspiration to follow you and follow them into heaven someday. I give you thanks for all those mentioned today who use their gifts, their skills, their time, their efforts, and their prayers to make this place what it is today. And I only pray, well, we pray together, Father, that in the future you would continue to help us to become all that you want us to be. May this place be a beacon of hope and a lighthouse to this community here, shining the light of Christ so that people can see. And we pray that more and more people would hear the gospel message through our ministry about Jesus and become followers too. And as this happens, we will give you all the glory as we give ourselves to you once again this morning in closing this service in song. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.